Hello everybody in the afternoon session. First I would like to say thank you to all the organizers. I'm really happy to be here and even more happy to be able to speak to you. Do you hear me? Can you hear me?
Closer. So
that no.
You might use the mic. This mic is the one.
Should be like, yeah. If you speak from here.
1, 2, okay. Should turn it on.
Is a problem.
Okay, it works. Okay, so it's called a tutorial or mini course, and it's hard to teach experts, and I know there are experts in the audience, so I was in trouble when I was thinking how to organize my presentation. So I know there are experts in a lot of experts in wireless communication. So for those experts, especially in the first part of my presentation, there'll be not too much new results, but what I will try to present these results maybe in a fashion that you have not necessarily seen before. I mean, I'll try to tell a story in a stochastic geometry fashion. So there'll be known results, but the story will be, I hope, interesting from this point of view. And for those who are not familiar with wireless communications, this will be hopefully not so known results, especially regarding the first part. And then for tomorrow, there'll be more new things, especially regarding relations to this very, now classical object, which is Poisson-Dirichlet process, or family of such processes. Okay, so the outline for today is, I will first introduce or recall what is general germ drain coverage model in stochastic geometry. Then I'll present what now is called SINR coverage model, or also sometimes short noise coverage model, which is a model really dedicated to communications, to wireless communications, but maybe also of some more general interest, we'll see. And then I will focus on, because there are many aspects you can study such a model in many aspects, and I will focus on just one type of problems, which are coverage characteristics of this model, because these coverage characteristics they appear to be related to this more general model, which is Poisson-Dirichlet process, and these relations will be revealed hopefully tomorrow. Okay, so let's start the first thing, which is introduction of what is called general germ drain model in stochastic geometry. It is basically a marked point process. Okay, so there are points of this point process which are traditionally called germs. I mean, there must be some biological motivation for this terminology. Okay, and there are marks which are very specific in this model, because these are random sets, random closed sets, if you want to formalize things as they should be formalized in stochastic geometry. Okay, and then in general situation, these marks are not necessarily independent. Okay, so this is a marked point process, but not. We see usually a lot of independently marked point processes, but these marks are, these sets are not independent, and what is supposed to be depicted on this picture, of course, you cannot depict independence, which is a stochastic concept, okay, but okay, you feel from this picture that they somehow look dependent. Okay, and these sets are called grains in stochastic geometry situation. And this is a natural generalization of two classical, very, 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 very classical models usually considered at first, which is Voronoi tessellation and Boolean model. So just in case somebody has not seen a picture of a Voronoi tessellation in two dimensions, this is this picture. So these are grains, germs, sorry, points of the point process, and grains, so these marks, these sets considered as marks of these points, are are polygons which are such that all elements of this polygon have this property that they are closer to this point than to any other. And another famous example of a germ grain model, it's a Boolean model. Okay, and this is a very special model. Grains are such that there's at the beginning there is an independently marked point process. There are points and marks, random closed sets, which are at the beginning independent, and then you somehow center these grains around points, which is the situation depicted on this picture. And the specificity of this model is that the GIs are IID random closed sets. And sometimes the Boolean model is reserved only for the case when the underlying point process is Poisson, but let's be a little bit more general. Okay, and so the goal of this presentation will be to consider some particular, more general than just Boolean and Voronoi germ grain model. And we'll focus, as I said, on coverage probabilities of this model. And you can consider two types of coverage characteristics of this model. Coverage characteristics consider under its bound distribution. So let's now focus on a stationary situation. So when this model is its distribution is invariant under translations, as a consequence, the point process, underlying point process, should be stationary. So we can consider its bound distribution. In the case of Poisson, we know what it is. Every stationary process having finite intensity has its bound distribution. It's not so easy as Slivniak says for Poisson case, but it always exists. And you can always ask the question, what's the probability that the typical grain, which is the grain attached to the point at the origin, which is called the typical point or typical germ of this process, and then this grain is called typical grain, what's the probability that some particular location is covered or belongs to this grain? And this, of course, depends on the location of this location x. So these functions p of x, I'll call typical grain coverage probabilities. And the opposite, when you consider a stationary distribution, so not under palm but under stationary distribution. Now you have in this first setting you have you pick at random without any bias, and you should formalize it correctly, but it's possible. You pick at random one grain and you put a location and the distance x or vectorial distance position x with respect to this grain, and you ask the probability what's the probability that this location is covered by this grain. Here is the other way around. You place the observer at the origin, not the grain, okay? And then you don't know where your grains are. And you ask what's the probability that at least one of these grains covers the origin. It can be a little bit more general. In fact, will be more general. We'll consider also the number of grains on the stationary distribution, number of grains covering this typical point, which is the origin. Okay, and the distribution of this random variable. And the tails of this distribution I will denote by pk throughout my presentation. So pk, the family of this case or distribution of n, I will call stationary k coverage probability. Okay, and obviously p1 is just probability that at least one grain covers the origin. I said that Boolean model and Voronoi tessellation are special cases, so let's first check whether we can calculate this typical and stationary coverage characteristics for these classical models, and we do this, and that's my exercise. I don't have incentive, so I have to solve my exercise myself, or at least provide the solution, and I'm not going to to go through the details. They'll be available on the web, so just be sure that for Poisson-Voronoi tessellation, the typical coverage, typical cell coverage probability, it's this exponential function. By the way, it's the probability there is no point in closer than absolute value of x to the origin. And even trivially, the stationary coverage numbers pkr, this is 1 for k equals to 1, because the, you know, Voronoi tessellation is tessellation of the plane, so every location is covered at least by one cell, except for the boundary points, which are covered by two cells, but the probability that, that origin is just on a boundary is zero. So we have these coverage probabilities for the stationary coverage probabilities for the Voronoi tessellation, 1 for k equal to 1, and 0 for all k larger than 2. For the Poisson Boolean model, the typical cell coverage probability is somehow given by the distribution of this typical grain, and stationary coverage, let it be really an exercise, it's a Poisson random variable with this parameter. And here is the answer, but I don't let you read it. Now, before I go to this specific model, specifically for communications, let me say that it's not always so easy to calculate these, especially stationary coverage characteristics. And that is, however, a general methodology which you can try to use and perhaps obtain results in a general case. So still staying with the general situation, still not specifying our general germ-grain model, let me say that the usual way to follow if you want to study coverage characteristics, stationary coverage characteristics, is to go from these pk numbers rather to the moments of this random variable n. Okay, and especially it's good to consider factorial moment measure. So if you don't remember what is factorial moment measure of a random variable, it's given here. It's like the moment, but you just decrease the counter by one every time you multiply by the, multiply by n by n minus one and so on and so forth until it's zero or not, k times or zero. And then there's a known fact that moments and also these factorial moments, they characterize the distribution and in a quite explicit way. So it says that given you can calculate these factorial moments, you can get information about these stationary coverage characteristics. That's more general than just for this n being the coverage number, but in the case of coverage, it's this. Okay, and the reason why we should look at these factorial moments rather than pk, it's given by the following two arguments. So first, if you look what's the first factorial moment measure, which is just the usual moment, the first moment, so expectation, it's expected number of grains that cover zero. Okay, you use Campbell formula. Here it's in the case of stationary underlying point process, it's just the intensity measure, intensity times Lebesgue measure, it's intensity of the underlying stationary point process. And here is the palm distribution version at x, that zero is covered by Cx. It would work even for non-stationary case when we would have here the first moment measure, not necessarily Lebesgue times intensity. Now, by the symmetry, probability that zero is covered by the grain located at x is the same as probability that x is covered by the grain located at the origin or attached to the origin. And so what we discover here, we discover the typical coverage probability. Okay? So this is what in queuing theory, for example, this relation is called Little's law. It relates the stationary coverage number to the palm coverage probabilities. Okay, so if we can calculate px out of this expression, integrating over the x, we'll be able to get Little's lambda missing. I'm sorry here. We'll be able to get this first moment measure. By the way, it's also the mean volume of the typical grain times the intensity. Now, the same story holds for higher moment, factorial moment measures, moments, which are nothing else but expectation of sums over distinct points of the point process indicator that zero is covered by the intersection of these grains. Again, by this time higher order Campbell formula, you obtain this, you can transform it to the integral over of the function which is palm coverage, but this time higher order palm probability of zero being covered by intersection of n cells given x located x1, xn, integrated against the intensity, n factorial moment measure of the point process. A general formula, but if you can assume, if you want to assume that your underlying point process is Poisson, then these probability distributions are basically a stationary distribution of the point process or Poisson point process with these extra points added, and the factorial moment measures are just just product measures the n times intensity of the point process, of the Poisson point process, which in the case of stationary point process is just the Lebesgue measure. Okay, and so by the simple corollary, you have a coverage probabilities, stationary coverage probabilities expressed in terms of these typical cell or n-fold typical cell coverage probabilities. These are very, very general relation. You can do it for an arbitrary model, stochastic coverage model, giant brain model, and we try to adopt this program and to try to calculate these values for some particular stochastic geometric model that will be introduced in a second. There are also versions of these expansions for more general characteristics of the model, but I will not have time to speak about that. Okay, so this was a kind of big introduction, stochastic geometric introduction to the formulation of the model. Thanks to the previous presentation by Martin, I don't have to introduce the notion of SINR. Maybe rather for notation or for terminology. So I'll be talking about the useful signal received from one particular. So there's a communication channel. There's some signal communicated in this channel, and the quality of the signal of the channel. So, for example, the throughput, the amount of the rate, the bit rate, the number of bits per second you can send at it. It's characterized, it's fundamentally related to the ratio, which is the ratio between the power of the received useful signal to all other powers, noise plus maybe powers emitted by other transmitters. Okay, so we'll try to introduce a stochastic geometric model, germ grain model, in which germs will represent locations of transmitters, wireless transmitters, and the grains will correspond to the regions where these transmitters can be received with sufficiently high SINR, signal to interference and noise ratio. That's the model. So, as I said, you probably have seen it very many times, so just for the notation, my germs are now, from now on, points of the Poisson point process, homogeneous and on the plane. It's straightforward, you can generalize it to RD, but I will stick to the plane. And the these points are initially independently marked by some random variables SI, which have some interpretation in wireless communication. Sometimes we call them shadowing, sometimes fading. I don't want to go into details, just let these be random, non-negative random variables. Independent, so that's independently marked point process. We have this constraint on this assumption regarding its moment, some particular moment, and this beta. Okay, so that is the received signal is modeled by some deterministic function, which is this power law called path loss function. Okay, inverse of it. Times these random variable SI, which codes somehow the randomness of the channel, and in the denominator we have, as I said, noise plus sum of all other powers received from all other emitters, different than from coming from the useful signal. Okay, that is important, very important parameter called path loss exponent, and there are a couple of other parameters, like gamma, which somehow says how effectively we can reduce the impact of the interference, and theta is the level of the SINR, so how good the channel is, because as I said, this SINR can be related to the amount of bits per second can be sent in this channel, so the higher theta is, the at the channel is. Okay, so clearly this is a germ grain model with dependent grains, and the dependence comes through this thing, because otherwise it would be just a Boolean model, SI being independent. But because of this shot noise, we recognize here the sum of some values of some function or randomized function of the point of the taken of the points of the point process, it's called shot noise. So it's clearly a germ grain model with dependent grains, and introduced in this paper, and quite recently called in this new edition of famous book by Stojan Kendall-Mekke, and now it's by Chu Stojan Kendall-Mekke. It's called shot noise coverage model because of this thing called in stochastic geometry a short noise. If you want a picture how this model may look like, here is an instance of this process for some particular values of the parameters, doesn't matter. And then I'm going to increase the, decrease the value of theta, so increase the grains, and they grow like that. So they try to avoid each other. Okay, so for this object, we'll try to calculate palm coverage probabilities and especially more difficult task, stationary coverage probabilities. Before that, let me very briefly remind some basic facts that relate this model with respect to these two classical ones, like Boolean and Voronoi tessellation. So it might be seen as a model in between these two models. Okay, so mathematically it's obvious, it's trivial. When you send this gamma, this factor that multiplies the interference to zero, then everything, all grains become independent, and then it's clearly a Boolean model. But if it is close to zero, then maybe you can use some approximations using Boolean model to get approximations for these coverage characteristics. That has been done, but that's not the goal of this presentation, to use these approximations. Also, which is probably less evident, if you at least send W to zero, so there's no external interference noise, and if your path loss exponent is very high, but I think Martin was talking about that as well. So if a path loss is very, very strong, then these cells, they start looking like they have become more and more Voronoi cells, at least for theta larger than one. Okay, and then you can get also some resemblance to Johnson-Mell. And here are a few graphically less successful images, but clearly it looks like a Voronoi tessellation for some value. I don't remember which was the value of the beta, but that's not important. And if you want to see an instance of the model which looks like a Johnson melting, it is this. Okay, so it's like a Voronoi tessellation which somehow was prevented from taking the whole space. Okay, but despite these apparent relations to Boolean and Voronoi tessellation, there are quite fundamental differences, like quantitative differences between especially Boolean model and this one. So even the Boolean model is sometimes used in communications. It has different properties. And again, very schematically, you can give two arguments to say that that's not really the same model qualitatively. And one argument is local. So if you look at just one point and you ask the probability what's the number of cells that can be covered, that grains or cells, in this context we say cells rather than grains, cover at this point. So in the case of the Boolean model, N, as I said in one of my exercises, it's a Poisson random variable, which is not the case. So Poisson random variable, we know it has unbounded support, which is not the case. It's in quite an opposite to what's happening for N in this SINR coverage model when N has bounded support. So from this point of view, it looks more like a Voronoi for which the stationary coverage is bounded just to one, support is bounded to one. There's only P1, which is non-zero. But also globally, so this was a local point of view. I was looking at just coverage of one point, but if you step back and look the large picture, imagine infinite realization, and you ask the question, is there an infinite component, connected component in my image, in my picture of these cells of grains? So in the Boolean model, everybody we know that there is the famous phase transition. So if your intensity is too small, there is no. If intensity is large enough, there'll be one. And here is again a difference, fundamental difference between SINR model, when increasing density beyond some point may destroy percolation, may make the model make disappear an infinite component. And here's the famous result written in two papers, which says that indeed for some particular value of this path loss, interference cancellation factor, there'll be regime when intensity is too small, are too few nodes, the density is too small for the model to exhibit an infinite component, then it's okay if intensity is large enough. But if you go with intensity beyond some point, it will disconnect, you will statistically, you will make disappear your infinite component if it exists. And that's fundamental difference between this model and the Boolean one. Okay. So I have kind of half an hour to speak about coverage characteristics for this particular model. Realizing this program, trying to follow this program, first try to calculate the typical cell coverage characteristics and then stationary coverage characteristics using moment measures. Okay, so coverage by the typical cell. Again, under Palm, we have a cell whose, now in the language of wireless communication, there's a transmitter located at the origin. There is a cell, a region where this emitter is received with a signal to interference and noise ratio large enough. We locate a receiver at some distance r. It's isotropic model, so just the distance which matters. I place my receiver at the location r, and I ask the question, what's the probability that this location is covered by the transmitter, meaning that my channel from the origin to x is good enough, okay? Martin was speaking about that as well, so let me just do it for formal reasons. You can rewrite the signal to interference noise ratio being larger than theta as this expression, so probability of this random factor of the channel being bigger than some linear combination of the external noise and the interference. Now, by the Slivniak theorem, this expression under this event under Palm probability has the same distribution as the stationary distribution Slivniak teaches us that all other points than the point at the origin under Palm has the same distribution as the stationary distribution of the point Poisson point process. So it amounts to saying that this is equal to stationary probability that S is bigger than, again, linear combination, one that now the interference is the interference of short noise with respect to stationary Poisson point process. With, what is important, S, W, and this sum, this short noise being independent random variables. This short noise, it's an object very well known in stochastic geometry. It's quite easy to analyze, and in particular because this function. What is easy here is that this function depends only on the location of the point x and not other points. If we destroy this property, if it's no longer a linear functional of phi, and then everything breaks down. But here it's okay. Its Laplace transform can be expressed in terms of the Laplace transform of the underlying point process. In the case of Poisson point process, this Laplace transform is known. And in particular, in the case of this particular short noise response function, Laplace transform has this form. And we arrive then at the problem of calculation of probability that a sum of three random variables is larger than zero, so it's non-negative, having known that the variables are independent and having known distribution each of them, with one of them being characterized uniquely through its Laplace transform. It's not hopeless even in such a generality. Having known Laplace transform of this, it characterizes theoretically distribution of I, but also it gives you a handle to calculate really such probabilities. I don't have time, but maybe on the web someday you will go through this. There are some classical techniques to calculate such a probability using some complex analysis, classical problems from complex analysis, different approach which is based on some isometry between functions, continuous functions with square integrable functions and the space of the Fourier transforms. So I skip these details. We can calculate really this typical cell coverage probability with a very general setting, but there will be one special case of big importance for us is when this S is exponential random variable, which amounts to say that the channel has Rayleigh fading. That's from wireless communication engineering. It's called the channel with Rayleigh fading. or mathematically just assuming that S is an exponential random variable. And in this case, quite straightforwardly, probability that SINR is bigger than some threshold, tau, it's the same condition on W and I, the short noise, knowing that that these are independent random variables with respect to S, this conditioning does not change the distribution, and using the fact that S is exponential, that's probably the exponential random variable is bigger than some value, it's this exponential function. Hence, now, because of the independence between W and I, this expression splits to the product of two Laplace transforms, this of the noise and this of the interference, and of the interference is known explicitly, and of the noise is considered as given. So we have explicit expression, and Martin taught us all that this before the lunch. So, as I said, it's not mainly for mathematical convenience, it's not only for mathematical convenience, it represents this assumption on S being exponential, it represents really some particular case of interest in wireless communications. But we will see quite surprisingly that it can be relaxed without no extra price when switching from typical cell coverage probabilities to the stationary. So there'll be some kind of magic thing, if I can use this word. There's no magic in mathematics, but we will be able to do a calculation for the exponential and pretend to say that it's more general than no exponential. I'll explain it in a minute. So this result has a long history already, and it starts well before even this paper that was cited by Martin, because we found in this paper these two authors were quite close. They had the same approach. And they were considering, they wanted too much. That's why the paper is not so cited, because they did already the calculations for the kind of double stochastic exponential. So they assumed the S is exponential, but of random parameter log normal. It's this distribution is called Suzuki fading, I think, in wireless communications, and then the expressions are a little bit more, quite more complicated. And then the paper didn't start this really the whole process of optimization calculations and further considerations that you can do when the expression is so explicit. We switch now from we move on from typical cell coverage probabilities to the stationary, and as I said already, the main way to follow will be to look at the moments, factorial moments of this n, which is the stationary coverage number. Okay, how many cells cover a given point under stationary probability? The first fact, which already makes a difference with respect to the Moulian model, is that this number has a bounded support. It's a random variable which has a bounded support. And this support is bounded by very explicitly. It's bounded explicitly by this tau, which is the level of the threshold of SINR threshold. So it's pure algebra. It does not depend on any probabilistic assumptions, neither distribution of S, no Poisson point process assumption. It's just the algebra, which I will try to convince you on the next slide. Which immediately says us that these coverage probabilities pk beyond this value will be zero. And let me recall you these two exercises that I tried to present you. It's quite similar to the Voronoi tessellation case when stationary coverage probability was bound, the support was bounded by one. Okay, that was only the first coverage probability which was not zero. Here it goes up to 1 plus 1 over theta. So the smaller theta, the larger pk non-null we can obtain. And it's in contrast to the Boolean model when n is Poisson variable, thus it has unbounded support. The proof, as I said, is very simple. So I'm almost sorry for presenting this proof here, but let me go through. So suppose that y is covered by n cells. Okay, the location y, zero, we're interested in zero, but it's algebra, so it works for every y. Suppose that y is covered by n cells, which by the definition means that SINR with respect to these xij is j from 1 to n is larger than tau. Presented like that, it's not evident, but it will be, especially tomorrow, it will be very useful to go from si now, which is usually considered in wireless context, to what is called sometimes signal to total interference and ratio, total interference and noise ratio, which differs from SINR by the fact that we make a sum over all case, over all interferers, plus the point which is considered as transmitter for this channel. Okay, so the simple algebraic manipulation says that switching from k different and ij to k all k amounts to changing this theta to theta 1 over theta. And consequently, now if we know that the n cells cover point with STINR bigger than tau 1 over tau, if we sum these inequalities, all of them hold, and for each one we have tau 1 over tau, the sum is smaller than 1 because the denominator is common, and the numerator is only the part of the summons of the denominator. So hence it's bigger than n times this thing, and if you solve it in n, you get immediately bound on n. So in SINR coverage model, never more than 1 over tau cells can cover a given point simultaneously. This immediately says that factorial moment measures of n are zero for k beyond this magic value. And also immediately, these expressions, which used to be infinite, theoretically infinite, in principle infinite expansions for a general n, this time are finite sums. Let me make a little bit more general remark. So there might be an interesting relation to what is recently quite well studied. It's called U-statistics. So U-statistics are short noise processes with respect to factorial moments of a point process. And they are known to have such expansions finite. Okay, and there are a lot of things, especially when related to the so-called chaos expansion and in Fock space, and it's also related to this one on cost operator. Lot of things simplify for characteristics of a point process which have finite moment expansions. So our characteristics are not examples of these U-statistics, but they have the same qualitative property. Okay, now, so once we know that n is a random variable which has a bounded support, and before studying its distribution, let's consider the following process. Okay, so this process is just, when we ask the question, what is the number of cells covering the origin? Everything we need to know to answer this question is we need to know the values of the signals received from all points of the point process. So finally, so in fact, I can reduce my problem from two-dimensional problem when my emitters are located on the plane, just to one-dimensional point process. Point process on the positive half line, where values of these points are signals, powers of the signals received from successive transmitters. So knowing theta, I'll be able to, knowing distribution of theta, I'll be able to know the distribution of S and all characteristics of S. So this process is called sometimes pass inverse of Y, are called pass loss process. Let me call it pass gain process. There's a lemma which is quite easy to prove, but which has a very long history as well. And a result says that this process, so if you map everything, then your problem, anyway, one-dimensional problem because we have only one observer, to the half line, which is on which you mark, represent values of the signals received at this given location, then this point process is a Poisson point process. Okay, it's inhomogeneous, but Poisson, which simplifies tremendously the further calculations. And moreover, its intensity has this very simple expression, which has only two parameters, in fact. 2 over beta, which is delta of Martin, if I remember correctly, and another parameter, A, which encodes all other parameters of the model, including intensity of the point process, including this K, which is some not very important constant in Pathless function, but also it encodes, it keeps the whole information regarding the distribution of S. In fact, you don't need to know the exact distribution of S. The only thing you need to know is this moment of S. What it says? It says that the distribution of N, and consequently all coverage probabilities, stationary coverage probabilities, will be invariant with respect to the distribution of S, provided the moment is given. Okay? So, in other words, if you have a problem, if you have a general model, S is not exponential, what do you do if you want to calculate something? It might be more convenient to assume that S is in fact exponential. You do the calculations, perhaps they are simpler, indeed they are simpler. They are doable even, because for S general are not so doable. But then you revoke this assumption saying, oh, look, the answer should be the same provided I manipulate a little bit with my A, provided I equalize this parameter A. And it's really a trick that several authors were playing in the literature when you try to trace the history and look in how many contexts for this particular, because it's really related to this form of the distribution of the intensity measure. We'll be talking about this tomorrow. It's really related to this form of the distribution of this point process. And so historically, the first phases of such an analysis, not yet invariants like that, but invariants for short noise processes, were considered already by the Gilbert, by the way, the famous one who considered the introduced continuum percolation model. Then in physics, quite surprisingly, completely in a different context, the same process, Poisson process, appears, and the same invariance with respect to S, which is completely different interpretation in this model, appears to be a crucial step in the analysis of spin glasses, which are kind of stochastic model of ferromagnetic crystals. Then, it appears for the first time in this paper, but if somebody shows me a different paper, I will accept. And independently, I think in secrecy graphs, the same argument was used for different reasons, for different purposes in this paper. And every time something is not exponential, people assume exponential, or in this context, it should be log normal. This one is log normal, which is the good assumption about S, not exponential as in our case. Okay, the proof. It's a really important result, but the proof is simple. So basically, it's the displacement theorem, which says that if you take Poisson points and they randomly, but independently, given the source point Poisson point process, displace the points, including to another space, which is in our case because we displace them on the half line, then the resulting point process is Poisson. And the only thing you have to do, you have calculated its intensity. And calculation of intensity to characterize it, to calculate its intensity. Its calculation of intensity is simple. Well, you follow these steps, you will do it eventually if you will download this presentation from the website. I don't take my time to go through these, but it's very, 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 very elementary. And you find out that actually the intensity of this non-homogeneous Poisson point process is given by this expression. Okay, so before I can show you a result regarding the factorial moments of N, which are crucial to calculate these stationary coverage characteristics, let me introduce two special functions, or two families of special functions. Here's the first one. It's kind of related to hypergeometric functions, so at least for N, I think, two. If Paul can, I'm speaking under control of Paul. If Paul, is it?
The next integral would be hypergeometric.
Okay, not this one.
It's just a gamma function.
Oh, okay. And the second family of functions, which are...
That's hypergeometric.
now functions which are an argument and non-negative arguments. And this is a quite horrible expression. But if you look a little bit more carefully at its structure, I don't ask you to do it now, but if somebody has an impression that there should be some beta random variables behind it, that its expectation of some functional of multidimensional beta random vector, that's very, very correct and relation, and we'll see it tomorrow. We'll see a little bit more how it's related to beta random variables. So, having introduced these two random, these two special families of special functions, I'm in position to formulate the result regarding these factorial moments of the stationary coverage number. Here's the expression. As I said, n has a bounded support, so factorial moments are zero for theta, which is too large, larger than 1 over n minus 1, but for tau, which tau is small enough, this nth moment is non-zero, and it's given by this expression. Again, we see clearly that smaller tau, higher factorial moments are non-zero. But what, which is really more, I think, more important is the following observation. Again, it will be useful tomorrow. Look, this expression factorizes with respect to noise and interference. This factor, it's the only one which takes into account the noise. If you send W to zero, this will be a constant. You have no noise. If you introduce noise to your model, you just introduce the factor, just a factor, in your factorial moment measure. Okay? So this resembles a little bit factorization of the typical point coverage probability under exponential S. But now, remember, we don't need assumption on the exponentiality of S, because the result is supposed to be more general. There's only this A, this magic parameter A, which encodes the 2 over beta moment of S. A simple corollary from that, my K coverage probabilities, which was the goal of my talk today, to get this expression. It's given by this, now we know, finite expansion, because N has finite support. And what we recognize here, we recognize this n factorial moment of the coverage number, which we know explicitly, at least in terms of these two families of special functions. That's the paper where I think it appears for the first time, but the special case when you take tau bigger than 1, so if tau is bigger than 1, the scaling of 1 over tau, it's 1, okay, and thus this is only 1, okay, so pk is sum from n of, from k to 1. So it's zero only if k is equal to 1, so we have only one coverage probability then. And this one, the unique term of this expression, it's given by, it simplifies to this formula. And this is the very celebrated expression, a little bit different notation from this very, 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 very seminal paper, where more general model was considered, more general in terms of there's KTO network, there are a lot of practical things in wireless communication, but regarding my objective, which are coverage characteristics, this is a special case, because it's just this only for it's only P1 for tau bigger than 1. The proof idea, we have just to follow the program that we presented, that we had and have seen at the very beginning. So we have to calculate factorial moments. We have to show that these are factorial moment measures. Factorial moments of n. Let's start with n equal to 1, so the first factorial moment, which is the moment which is by this famous called Little's law, famous formula which relates this typical cell coverage characteristics to this first moment of the stationary coverage characteristics. So you have to calculate this integral. For now, mathematical convenience, you don't care whether it's Rayleigh fading or not, just for mathematical convenience, you assume S exponential. You are lucky, because in this case, Px has a very explicit expression. But now you revoke this assumption, calling the invariance of the N regarding the distribution of S. That's the argument. So to complete it, you have just to calculate this integral, and in the case n equal to 1, it's quite straightforward. The same program works for n larger or equal to 1, n factorial moments of n. It's this, this I tried to explain before. Higher order Campbell gives this relation to higher order typical cell coverage characteristics. And again, calculating this probability thanks to Slivniak and assuming exponential distribution of S is doable. So you assume, you do it. Calculations are quite tedious this time. Thanks to Paul, we were able to do them. And at the end of the day, you obtain some expression assuming S exponential, but you say, okay, my result is more general because the model is invariant with respect to the distribution of S. I think that's all for today, and what I hope we'll be able to see tomorrow is our relations of this, anyway, quite specific model dedicated to wireless communications. Relations of this model to something more general. And you know, in mathematics, we are happy that when we can be useful, when the model is really useful in one particular domain. But we are even more happy when the model is universal, so when the domain in which you can use it, it's not just one, but maybe several. So nice mathematical models are usually supposed to be general models. Poisson-Dirichlet processes are really, they are used in several contexts, in different contexts, from economics to genetics to population study, physics, spin glasses, and now thanks to the bridge, which I'm going to present tomorrow in wireless communication as well. I'm not expert in all these domains that I cited where Poisson-Dirichlet processes are used, so I'm not sure I'll be able to answer the questions, what are the relations of this process to other domains, but I hope I'll be able to at least indicate them tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Tomorrow. So thank you.